Namaste and blessings. Welcome to the Type 1 Radio Lounge here on type1radio.com. This is Swami Shivanandagiri, and this Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. To your left or right, depending which way you're facing your device, is Sonic in Brighton, England.
Hello.
Hi there. Are you talking about me?
Not yet.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. We're good.
We're having terrible radio
right
here.
Or left, depending which way you're facing your device, is Steve from Brighton, England.
Hello. Hello.
And our guest directly in the center pillar, from Grants Pass, Oregon, Dr. Richard Allen Miller.
Hi there. I'm alive. I'm alive. It's good. I'm surprised after everything that's been happening. No amazing. Good.
Well, let me do a quick intro for Dr. Miller. Doctor, for any unfamiliar, which it's difficult to imagine that, but it's possible, Dr. Richard Allen Miller is a pioneer in the annals of metaphysical and paranormal exploration. He began working in the X-Files world of Navy Intel SEAL Corporation before it even became Navy SEALs, and then the MRU in the late 60s. His public collaborations and research are ongoing. As an original Black Ops team member, Dr. Miller Miller's research in the field of paranormal began as a graduate physicist working 11 years with Navy Intel. During this period, numerous foundational papers, including a holographic concept of reality and embryonic holography, were written. His past and current writings and presentations reveal a depth of knowledge and practical experience in three major fields. Alternative agriculture, which is going to be exceedingly important, New Age physics, and metaphysics, which has always been exceedingly important. Dr. Miller now writes for Nexus Magazine and is an enormously preferred guest on online radio shows around our little rock traveling through space. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. Dr. Richard Allen Miller, what's new and interesting?
Good morning, and thank you for having me on. It's I'm just coming back from Hollywood, and what a trip that was. We can talk about it if you'd like. I would rather talk about spiritual matters. Los Angeles is crazy.
Yes.
And I couldn't imagine how anybody could live there. The traffic, I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, this Swami's guru, who is a Paramahamsa and a Mahamandaleshwar, one of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars on planet Earth within Hinduism, lives in West Hollywood and is no fan of traffic at all.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, let us, could we, since we have the rare company of two individuated units of consciousness who have achieved and are comfortable within the higher realms of conscious potential on this planet, let us begin at the top and work our way down. Doctor, how do you open the door to the average human who wishes to know more about their inherent potential?
You start with metaphor. You understand the relationship of one thing to another in the way you feel about it, like an Aborigine. You start with your feelings. Mm-hmm. You have the physical, and there it is. And then you have dream states where you dream about symbolism and all of that. But really, what the content is how your higher self or androgynous other part of self is communicating to you through your feelings. That's how it works. It's not that it's an elephant that's flying with big ears. It's not about the symbolism. That convolutes and is part of what activates the conscious mind, which is a distraction. What you need to do is focus on your feelings on something. That is your future. When you look into the universe and you see six things, and one of them is important to you, that is precisely how your higher self is having dialogue with your immediate consciousness. Now, it's not easy to be mindful. And that's why you have to be responsible for the thoughts you choose to entertain. This is part of the double-edged sword. More likely than not, our imagination is right now creating our apocalypse and our aliens. Because whatever you could imagine is not only true, way more than that, because we're only in fourth grade. And to realize that we distort things in our relationships, let me give you some definitions.
Sure.
Like Gregory Bateson, a professor I had down at Berkeley, once said, "What is your metaphor but to serve your paradox?" And so I went out and had a meadow for my two ox, my pair of ox.
Mm-hmm.
That is the level of distortion of going from one set of feelings to the next. You have to recognize the subtlety of it as the first stage of awakening. It's about awareness of self, the internal landscape of your body. That's, it's got music. It is constantly singing to you. You can hear your heart rate. You can feel your pulse. You, in one of your five senses, you can see your health, da-da-da-da-da, but it is your relationship to that that is where you begin the journey.
Right.
And the problem is that it has no end. It doesn't work like that. It's not about going to the door. The door is a one star in sight kind of thing, and what you do is you pull yourself back into observing the moment. The moment is really where it all happens. And the future and the past are like cavitations of black hole and white hole, your past and your future. And if you change the moment and your relationship to the moment, you begin to have serious knowledge and conversation. You start to have dialogue with your higher self. This in magic is called path working. It has many names in history. This is why all saints in history have stressed the importance of training the mind.
Right.
The mind is supposed to be a tool, not an absolute. It's aware of everything. It doesn't work like that at all. Your upper mind is there to make all your beliefs true. That's what it does. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. There it
right,
is.
Right, right. That's the only reason the Maya works.
Well, that's why they call it Cal and process. The physical plane and psyche into matter. And how you do that is with just thought alone. And it, I'm writing the physics of it, and it isn't about my physics. That's arbitrary. What's real is the imagination. That's where it all happens for everyone. And that means it isn't about a leading religion of the world, which is science today. It isn't about that, because I know of no law that's lasted longer than 20 years in physics. It isn't about laws. It's about the mind's eye.
Right. And like our Native American brothers and sisters might say, the wolf that gets fed is the one that grows. So
that's an old one, yeah. You have choices. That's correct. And when I say you have choices, it's you have a thing called faith. Now, I watched a movie the other day called Miracles from Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new Christian movie out about about this girl that's dying because of a rare digestive problem. Unfortunately, the movie is also about my daughter that was in the bed next to her that had leukemia and did not survive. The concept of faith and the way the minister put that was, it feels better to do it this way or that. Is one better than the other? Who knows? Which one feels better? Which one do you feed? The metaphor stands. You are basically a habitat. You are a collective conscious of bacteria, molds, yeasts, and other things. On a physical level, you are an analog to a higher plane of what you are in relationship to me as an archetypal form of being human. I hope I'm not overwhelming you a little bit with concepts. I'm trying to step it up a little bit. Spirituality is not what you do, but how you do it. And it is about the journey of moment. And it's called flow. You can kick and scream, but at the end of the day, what actually happens, whether you're neurotic and self-destructive and you've created a bunch of karma because of it, or you allowed everything to come to you as flow, that's the choice you have. Your glass is either half full or half empty. It's exactly the same. The one, you've lost something, and the other, you've gained something. Now I ask you, which feels better? Right. I could say everything with that metaphor works out in the end. And if things are not working out, it's not yet the end.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a metaphor of how you choose to behave and see your own internal landscape. You have choices. That is what made you God's favorite. And the fact that I've got it means you've got it, because nothing is original. It is all part of the archetypal level of encounter. Well, you know, I say it like, you are me, and I am you, and I am the walrus. That's what that song means.
What you were talking about there, about living in the moment, you used the metaphor of the yin-yang, the black hole, white hole. So that in a 3D form would be like the Taurus, so... you sort of saying live in the center of the Taurus, in the now. Yeah?
Yes, I think religions are mostly for fellowship, to reinforce, strengthen, and, validate your belief system, which is arbitrary.
Yeah.
That's God's will.
Right.
That I'm thinking one way and you're thinking another, that's probably what makes us so wealthy as a universe, is the diversity of it. Is there good and evil? No. That's our interpretation in our metaphor of I like this and I hate that. And I used to, with my daughter, talk to her about, I'll bet I could find something that you hated even more than that. And that's when we got into the concept of preference and why the yin is within the yang. And the yang is within the yin. It is a relationship of one thing to another, and that all is what I would call God. And so God's not at war with anything. I do love George Carlin. I do love when he said, God has everything, but he needs more money. It's not about God. It's about our polarization of God. That's the white and black hole, part of the past and the future, working as a cavitation ball, like you would see behind a submarine or something. This is our new direction in cold fusion, too, by the way. We are finding it is a multiverse with a lot of collapsed universes that we can borrow from Peter to pay Paul. That means that cold fusion is no longer seen as a closed system, but it only works as an open system. interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
So, same thing has to do with the soul and your relationship to self. It's a multiverse out there, and you have choice.
Right. Kindly allow this, Swami, to expand on the simple word self. For anyone who, when we use this word in the specific context we are using in this conversation, it is capitalized, and it is the greater, that which is not subject to any limitation, be it physical, mental, or spiritual. That self, from which all arises, to which all returns. And you can use any set of syllables that brings your heart joy to describe that, with a capital T, or you can work at a lower level and move toward that, but it's all available all the time. You're never outside of it. You go through conditioning as an individual, as a body and a mind system that leads one in one direction or another, but all directions come from that same self and return to that same self. All dimensions, all realms, call it astral, causal, supracausal, any number of ways and means to describe the enormous variety that exists and is real. You know, this Swami is not against anything. This Swami is observing all play out. And it must be as it is. And the feel of a need to control, that's an indication of a problem for an individual and going to bring sorrow. When you make it outside of the time-space continuum and become stable in awareness there, this becomes a hologram, like watching a TV show. And it's playing out regardless how you wish to interact with it, pull away from it, get upset, be mellow. None of those things condition the reality of the hologram. Right, Doc?
Well, I got to smoke pot with Pir Vilayat Khan and Yogi Bhajan.
Uh-huh.
Did you get it? Spirituality has many layers, fourth plane, fifth plane. There are different ontologies that are used. You mentioned joy and bliss and love. Those are all the same thing in an ontology or resolution of information. You know, you have in ontologies of mystical states, what we call jhana states, mystical states of consciousness. There are eight of them. And in this one, cosmic state, you can do this. And in that state, you can do that as a level of measuring one metaphor to another. And then when you actually are on purpose, which is different than intent, when you are doing your true will, your purpose here, the reason that you're here, now the form of joy as a Quaker comes to my mind. And the idea that the universe, this is Aleister Crowley, would say, none shall say nay. That means the universe wants that to be happening. One of the things I did with SEALs was try to train them how to make their belief systems their purpose. And once I did that, that super soldier then didn't make a mistake. Didn't work like that. And so I'm not talking about plausible deniability like incompetence in government. Well, I'm speaking in metaphor here now. I'm speaking of fact that once you take your way of looking at something as part of your purpose, none shall say nay. You are now above what we would call cosmic conscious states and moving into what John Curtis Gowan called the development of the psychedelic individual. He was out of Northridge, and he got awards for that ontology form that he did. You will find I taught that for probably 11 years in shamanism at the UW. And that's where I got to know Gowan's works. He was also mentored by Dr. Stanley Krippner, like I was. Stan, by the way, will be coming up here in June. And if you would like, he's available in mornings. And I'm going to let the universe know that I'm prepared to do interviews with Dr. Stanley Krippner. He's my mentor since 1970. And he's the one that introduced me to Edgar Mitchell. And then when Mitchell did his moonwalk in 71, I was at Mission Control doing all the ESP studies with James Ertak and the rest of those guys. And I'm telling you, Stan's newest book, Rolling Thunder, is... he's my mentor. He's the man that has made almost all of us, including John Curtis Gowan, Dr. Charles Muses, Edward Everett Horton. All of those people came through Stan Krippner. He was working at Maimonides Dream Labs at the time and wrote books like Dream Telepathy, which you later made, or Hollywood made movies on, you know, about invading someone's sleep time or dream time. It's interesting how the world is changing. I don't know what it all means. Excuse me. That's my chemtrail cough. Just thought I would mention that.
Yeah, you're getting plenty of them out there in Grants Pass.
I know. It's terrible everywhere. I can't believe it. Hollywood was creepy. And what they were doing in the skies there, I actually on Facebook have a post where they announced to the public they were going to do it before they did it.
Under the cover of trying to bring...
You know, we told you we were going to do it, so there it is, you know. You know what they're doing now is using lithium to deploy lithium to lock down a city that might be unrest because there's no water. And watch what's going to happen this summer. Right. I already warned people about Walmart closing their doors with Target and Kohl's and the rest of them now starting to close down doors. It's happening. And boiling the frog means, you know, you bring the heat up so slowly, nobody really notices until it's too late.
Doc, kindly allow this Swami to ask, is the effort to reach, communicate with, learn from and through the self with a capital S.
Is everyone waking up? Yes. That's wonderful news for me. Because I'm waking up. I remember when I voted for Clinton way back when, and Gore wanted me on his cabinet. I remember that. I couldn't believe it. I'm now waking up. I now see what the Clintons really are. And that's really scary. You know, Hillary Clinton is so evil that the last woman that did three-quarters of what she did in terms of breach of our national security, they executed her 10 years ago. So, and Bill Clinton is your war on drugs and that nice little bridge with his name on it going into Mexico. How does that work? I have federal judges that are saying that Bill Clinton is the worst criminal out of Arkansas in its history. And you start running it down with the way the election are going now, it's a farce. Our president is supposed to represent our most scholarly and honored citizen in terms of moral codes of ethics and rules of conduct. Neither of those parties right now even remotely qualify. There's no such thing as statesmanship anymore. The whole thing is bought up. That's why they don't like
wrestling now, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
It's almost like watching pro wrestling.
Yeah, I'm not going to participate. I refuse to play. It doesn't mean I can't control things. In fact, all I'm going to do is worry about myself. If I can manage myself, the world will change. Trust me, that's how it works. You don't worry about other people and outside. You worry about inside. having going outside is again a distraction. And Zen Gardner just said it. There it is. I posted it this morning. It's he is a far better way of articulating concepts than myself. I'm more of a nerd. But here we are at the end of days, and we have a choice, and I choose this over that. My glass is half full. Everything happens for a reason. Everything leads to something better. This, all this bad polarization that's going on out there, I would not have distinguished or noticed it if it had not chosen to be polarized. And so from that point of view, I'm glad it happened, because now I'm aware of this nonsense.
Isn't it,
and that war in Europe that's going on right now with Israeli and all of that, Uzbekistan, that is nonsense. And I choose not to believe or participate in it. They're going to try to do a war. They're right now, they're after that as a control of fear. It's not real. None of it's real. It's a lie.
Have you heard anything, Doc, relative to General Dunford?
Benjamin Fulford?
No. General Dunford, the Joint Chief.
Oh,
there's a lot of
Dunford. No, I don't know much about any of that.
Okay.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, no. There's a lot of word on the grapevine that he's actually the human in control of the United States at the moment. That Obama is effectively a spokesman for a short time, but it's General Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's actually issuing orders and controlling where things are going.
Yeah, that's just like out of Dr. Strangelove. That's creepy.
Yeah.
So does that mean it's a military junta then in America at the moment?
Well,
I know. Did you know that Gary Cassidy is trying to find a way for me to come over to England, Ireland, and Scotland?
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
She's got it actively on her webpage. I just pulled it up on Gary Cassidy's website. Let me see what it is.
Project Camelot.
Yes, projectcamelotportal.com, and it's proposal for European tour. Richard Allen Miller and Gary Cassidy.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to come over and start pathworking.
Yes.
And I'm the physicist that did not blow myself up.
Right.
So, you know, I'm aware and have a system that works for me and is generic. I started with Sat Mat. You wanted to ask me about Sharon Singh. I was extremely fortunate. I went out to find the finest teachers I could, and I had the great fortune of meeting Sharon Singh. And so I was initiated by him, and when he chose me for initiation in 1979, yes, I've been a satsangi that many years. I meditate. He looked me in the eye, and he said at the moment of my death that he personally would be there to take me across the abyss.
Yes.
I've had enough of this nonsense here. Right. The physical plane and ego, which is what separates and makes us separate from one another, is a survival tool for a place we have gone to be sick spiritually. I'm speaking in metaphor.
Right.
It's not real. It's called hell. And it's whatever you want to make it. And one of the grandest last illusions is the distinction between going home and coming back here through the tunnel.
And how would you advise one to perceive that tunnel?
It is going into the light that's not a tunnel with a bunch of blind light. There are going to be two options for you. There will be light, and there will be the tunnel with a light. And you'll see your friends and your relatives and your lost dog. And you will call that heaven. And that is an illusion. That's the last illusion they give to you.
Yep.
I'm on it, and I'm on it as a nerd. And here's the deal.
Thank you very much. And in all sincerity, from this Swami and the ancient oral tradition that this Swami represents in the West, which is not easy. And well, I could only imagine how difficult it must have been within academia to approach these topics.
Well, it's a bunch of nonsense, and that's what my future has been telling me right this moment. And I'm in complete union, and I'm only halfway there. And I understand the process, and I can give it to you in any language you like, including Farsi. That's what I do. I've got an eidetic memory. And so I'm going to try to walk the talk and leave footprints so that everyone gets it. And by the way, once I've got it, that means the world's got it. That's how it works. That's what Rudolf Steiner said. The war is no longer a war, now external world. It's internal. I could tell you that your fourth genome and your blood type is where the alien hangs out. How's that as a metaphor? And that the war for Earth is going on inside each of us archetypally. And metaphor. There's lots of ways of seeing what's going on. Your choice is either it's half full or it's half empty. And we've already won. Because I said so.
Well done.
Divine right. How's that one work? You know, I'm the last man standing. There it is. Metaphor.
Right. Right. And see, again, from this Swami's point of view and the oral tradition this Swami represents from India, is that one can, with proper guidance and proper practices, achieve stability outside of the phenomenal completely. And be
well, that's walking the talk, and you know how to do it. You've simply got amnesia.
Right. Because you are all of it. You always have been.
Yeah, always was. Always will be. Your timeline.
But the incarnation game means you must forget. And then you're on the stage like doing an improv.
How is that put by in Rosina, Rosanna Dana?
Yeah. Never mind.
Okay, so where would you guys like to go now that you have opened Pandora's box?
How do folks get a hold of your books that will assist them?
Yeah, starving artist, thank you very much. I am reticent to, you know, pipe my own things. My website, my primary website, is richardallenmiller.com. Allen is A-L-A-N, so it's richardallenmiller.com. You can also access my books from Facebook if you go to the store up above at docram.com. That's my daily blog where I put up what's irritating me. Will you see what bothers me today? Yesterday, the radiation levels in Hollywood were 1,100 counts per minute.
Which means what for those?
RadCon 3 level alert. That means people are going to get sick from it.
Oh.
The fish is no longer safe to eat. There are people fishing down in Santa Barbara that there should be warning signs put out. Nobody's talking about that. And yet, we are absolutely having background radiation levels that were 100 times they were previous to Fukushima, and that means yesterday morning.
So is that a direct result of Fukushima, or is that more U.S.?
Who knows? Everything's leaking out here. Indian Point, up next to New York City, is in lethal doses going into the Hudson River at this moment. Nobody, including Cuomo, are talking about it. The one down in Florida, they're all leaking. The Daiichi-like reactors are all from GE, are at least 20 years old. Hanford closed down their primary reactor and just started it up again this morning. That's crazy because that is leaking into the Columbia River. When you ask, is it from Fukushima? Who knows? Could be just as easily from Hanford. That means nothing that is off the Pacific coast right now is most likely safe to eat. I'm saying that for the first time today. Heads up. You're going to need, like they do in Japan, use a Geiger counter when you buy your products. Broccoli is up over 900 count. Just broccoli out of California. That's particulate that would fall down on the truck farming and then get harvested for Safeway.
So why is broccoli so high?
It's just one of the plants that picks up radiation, you know, like when it falls into the soil, like marijuana or hemp. There's certain plants that will bioremediate more levels of radiation than others. And broccoli just happens to be one of those favorite vegetables I eat a lot of. And now I'm concerned.
Is that why George Bush said he disliked broccoli?
Yeah, what I'm doing today is setting up my garden. I've already started my marijuana seed. They're germinating. I'm now putting in my tomatoes and the rest of it. It's you need to have some kind of covering now. That's unfortunate, but the particulate, as it falls out of the stratosphere, it's now falling globally everywhere. There is a similar clock or measurement that we have for NETC, the Nuclear Emergency Tracking Center, NETC.com. That goes up, is upgraded every minute, and there's a similar one for Europe. They do different radiation count measures levels just to confuse everything, like Troy and whatever, but it's obvious we're in deep something or others, and it's going to require a new form of hygiene in the way we, you know, enter our home or castle or retreat or bunker. It's like you leave your shoes at the door and you decontaminate before you walk inside. You're taking off your clothes, especially your hat, anything that will catch falling debris. New form of hygiene.
And valuable, valuable information. We do not discuss these things in order to freeze one in fear.
You know? Yes. Well, it's like there's salmonella and you want to boil everything or cook everything before you eat it. We have salmonella and Garandia and some of the other things down here in our water that we have to be careful with. And as long as you're aware of it, it's a different way of relating to the environment now.
Right.
And it's not bad or good. It's you're in order to be healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you need to be aware physically.
Right.
So
they're all part of the same thing.
Are they using these particulates contaminating the atmosphere as a sort of not masking, but
you've lost me with all your M's.
sorry, my friend.
I'm kidding.
Are they using the particulates to push forward the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 scenarios?
United Nations, yeah, they're going to have a one world government. They're going to push it on us. If Hillary Clinton is elected, and right now I have to say that Trump is unelectable, but stay tuned on that. It just would never surprise me now. If she's elected, first thing she will do is appoint her husband to run the UN. And now you will have the single most powerful couple in the world working directly for the Bushes. It's going to work like that. And I'm concerned if Trump is going to be elected, watch who his running mate is, because then they will assassinate him because they'll need to have somebody that's part of the club. The reason I am such a world authority in such things as magic and the occult is that when I came out of graduate school, it was just like going into college. I was rushed by lodges. And Bohemian Grove, the Skull and Bones, I've got creepy things in the Republican Party I can't even mention. And I had to armor up like I did Christianity. I was going to get assaulted, and I had to know my stuff in order to know what was and what was not. I've had people trying to bully me in a corner, you know, to make me cry and accept something that I don't feel in my heart. Where is that going to go? That will create that type of death within me that will not ever allow me to have dialogue with my higher self right out of the gate.
Right.
And now you can see that in metaphor, where the Pope of Rome would say that he will speak to God on your behalf. How does that work? And I, you know, I'm fed up with this nonsense, and I'm not going to be active about it. I'm going to be internal. I'm going to speak my mind, and why then try to walk my talk? And you see what I do, if that's how you want to do it. I don't know. What I do know is this system isn't working, and I went out. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Do you think that that the both running mates for Hillary and Trump are the ones to watch? Because, like you say, with Trump, he could be very well assassinated either before to create martial law or after to bring in his
president. Well, that, listen, they already have software that can so profile you to know your intent before you do. They're already using Jade Point 2 software in New York City to predict a crime 28 minutes before it occurs in a certain borough. That's how accurate their profiling is today. Now, the good news is that intent is not exactly purpose. They are different. Not at our most levels of consciousness, what actually happens is your purpose. But from a psychology point of view, but as you listen to finer internal music in the body, and I can describe that later this hour if you'd like. Once you start to do that, there is a distinction between intent and purpose. And intent is unfortunately what they call the Stanford argument, where, you know, what actually happens is what you meant to have happen. And with all your sickness and illness and insecurities, you want to fail, you want to lose, you want to banish yourself, you want to do a variety of neurotic things that are not healthy, knowing purposefully they're not healthy, like throwing a tantrum. I do that all the time, and I'm absolutely incorrect. And listen to this one. We have just discovered a bacteria that lives on noradrenaline. It thrives on it. It's a parasite. And guess where it came from? It's not from Earth. And there's another type of alien. They even made a movie about that kind of thing called Liquid Sky, where this alien hides under the eaves of rave clubs and shooting galleries in New York City, living off the adrenaline and noradrenaline rushes. It's a metaphor.
Well, it's like
there's more going on here in the... Yeah, you can see it all around you, and you have choice. And that's why the most important tenet I could give today is you have a responsibility for the thoughts you choose to entertain. Doesn't matter where they came from. You can be mindful. That is what meditation and training the mind is about.
Yeah, let in the ones that are not necessarily positive drift out, and grasping the ones that you want to actualize.
And we have lots of different choices in that regard. So anyway, didn't mean to be so doom and gloom. Actually, we have a tremendous opportunity now that you understand the process. And as you do, the process is not the door. It is the journey of discovery. Layers upon layers in the onion.
So,
the journey to the door.
The journey to
I didn't catch that. I didn't what?
Steve said the journey to the door.
I didn't catch that. Yeah, well, Simon says you can go halfway to the door. You never get there. It isn't about the door. And duration is what time is, as Robert Ornstein defined it. It is a duration of consciousness. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end part. And the more you're in the moment, or what we call sacred time, the more you have access to the future and the past as a union. It's, that's how it works, the moment.
That's one of the legendary yogic siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I, which
siddhas, yeah, that's a siddha.
That means a perfection, or one who has achieved a perfect level of something. And there are numerous abilities that show up in these perfections, and one of them is the uninterrupted and choosing perception of past, present, future as one congruent whole that can be examined if there's need for it or purpose to it, and it's not done as entertainment or, you know, to impress someone or that sort of lower usage.
But, yeah, it's a personal thing, and it's different for each of us.
Yes, yes, yes.
And a siddha is actually a distraction in my system of Sant Mat.
Yes, same. It's same a distraction. In the siddha, the siddhis, these things that come, are opportunities for us to fuck up at a higher level.
That's all part of the stew. Remove the bay leaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there it is. It's all in metaphor as you relate to it on a personal level. That's why I would recommend everyone keep a diary. This is how you begin dialogue with your higher self. It's different for each of us, and where the higher self will make itself present is noticing the one thing over the five other details that are there. That's what you try to record every morning when you wake up from dream time. You write down what you remember. If you don't remember anything, say that. It will in itself become a language.
So do you use that as a form of meditation then?
That's the activation, meditation and concentration. Again, your cavitation going from right to left, from black hole to white hole. Your meditation and concentration. Extrasensory perception is when you ask a question in an active mind, and then you go back into the passive mind to wait for the answer. And it is always the first voice.
Mm.
Always.
Well, writing down your thoughts is definitely a meditative sort of practice. I find you sort of go into a state where you're, which is not in your normal sort of realms of life.
You can be anywhere in two locations at one time, according to Castaneda. That was the bilocation concept.
Yes.
Again, he didn't call it a cavitation because we didn't see it that way. And what I'm suggesting now, it's a topological surface working with what we call membrane physics and knot theory, K-N-O-T. I've got the math on it if you want. The thing is, it's not about the math. It's the mind's eye that actually makes it. But I've got it from a physics point of view, which means I've got it on a physical plane. If I've got it there, I've got it everywhere. Because the spiritual plane is the reflection of the physical plane. And the metaphor like that is like going to a fat doctor. Well, I mean, how's he going to help you when he can't even help himself?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, it's a metaphor again. You have to look at everything as synchronistic. And that, the synchronicity of it, is your future timeline, specific one, of which there are many, and you have choice, but The purpose part is coming through from the other side. A little bit of Jim Morrison.
So do you think you give us your definition of synchronicity, Dr. Richard?
Synchronicity is when you see three different cars driving around, but you're focused on that Ferrari. I try to talk on a lot of levels so that as you get more sophisticated, you see more flavor or charm in it. That is the accuracy of trying to do different similarities and similar differences. John Bohm, implicate order. There it is. You want to understand this, that's a good place to start, is with John Bohm. For the scholars in you that have to go out and be nerdy, there it is. That's a good place to start. John Bohm, implicate order. Yeah, it's inherent order within chaos. And that is finding the significance of the one thing over the other things that could have been significant. It's the timeline that connects you to purpose.
And this Swami can testify that it is this Swami's experience and the experience of many others who tread the inner path by whatever techniques or practices or lineages or any of that. But once you are actually doing this, once you are actually making progress, your interest in many, many distractive things simply falls away. It doesn't become a disciplinary, oh, I must suppress. You're just not interested anymore. So it doesn't, you know, you wake up every morning with a wallet full of attention. Where are you going to spend it?
But I personally would like to hang out in the physical plane with sex. Just kidding. Yeah, I'm such a guy. You know, I'm the actual part of androgyny is a marriage that is going on inside each of us. Mm-hmm. And the higher self, the capitalist that you're talking about, that place is one of the two ways to God. The other, of course, is the hermit, where you do it as a grumpy old man like I'm probably going to do.
Well, even in the yogic traditions, we have householders and we have ascetics.
Yeah.
One goes to the top of the mountain and lives in a cave for decades and all that, and the other is fully involved in society, but remains balanced within.
Balance part is Shiva doing her little dance. And I'll tell you, when you talk about Norman Mailer and Kalki, that's an interesting book to read about nuclear weapons and the ends of man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kalki, the last incarnation of Shiva. We are at the end of a sixth epoch. I don't believe there will be a seventh epoch unless we turn the switch off. I think we have a serious problem with radiation and radioactive decay. I think that form of power is crazy and will not afford a seventh epoch. Black goo might like it. That's what's doing now is up in Chernobyl and Fukushima. There's a black slime mold that is thriving. Probably came from Galactic Center, and we're watching our Earth being terraformed in front of our eyes, boiling the frog.
Without any clue of what's going on, you know? I mean,
exactly.
Because once you've heard about it, damage is done, you know, and you're not going to march backwards. And that's
so
why
there is a website that's kind of creepy called Lucifer.com that talks about the Church of the Virus and how an idea is a disease. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, well, we have a gentleman in this country called Prince Philip, who, what you were talking about at the top of the show, the imagination manifesting things, he has publicly said that when he dies, he wants to transform into a virus which will wipe out humanity.
Well, he can try. We'll just come up with transhumanism, and so he's right. Well, we'll it's all done in metaphor, and there's always a side argument or get out of jail card. And that's the part that I'm hoping to bring to you guys. I have a TARDIS.
Awesome.
So, you know, it's a metaphor. Actually, it's not. If you want to go into Merkaba mysticism, and there it is, with the throne chariot of God and Ezekiel's vision, which is basically a face-center cubic hexagonal closed-back structure that you envision in your mind's eye, and it sets up a resonant cavity oscillation with the temporal lobes. And I'll tell you, we did the study on that for the military, and I wrote three books unpublished. Jeremy Tarcher has them right now. He has now gone from Tarcher Publishing, he's now Penguin, but he owns those, and they're called The Diamond Body, Electromagic, and Yogatronics. And he figured the world wasn't ready for it yet. How to use video feedback systems as enhancements. Mm. There's a book written on that, you know, by Norman Spinrad called Little Heroes. And it's in there called The Wire. And what it does is it's a little thing you put on the top of your head and you dial in your personality like you would a pair of clothing. And there was this one group of aliens that were studying man that could not understand, metaphor, how man could exist as a life form when the distinction difference between being normal and psychotic could be measured in micrograms. You have no idea the importance of meditation and fine-tuning and taking control of the thoughts. Right. It's essential for any survival on Earth and the evolution of man.
Yep. Well, there's not even room for debate on that.
No, but let's hold that thought for 5 seconds, and we're coming to the top of the hour. We're going to play a little song, and we'll be back with more with the fascinating Dr. Richard Alan Miller. So let's have a bit of a music, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Thank you. Better life. I need my love to be here.
Okay.
Making each day of the beside me, I know I need never.